This morning I'm going to be sharing a word with you, and over the past couple of weeks, maybe the past couple of months, Kim has been speaking about a transforming gospel, or the power of the transforming gospel, and how the gospel should transform our lives. So this morning I'm going to take a few minutes of your time, and I'm going to share what I believe God has laid on my heart. I don't know how I'm going to do this, because God gave me two specific scriptures, and I've tried to place them together, and it's been quite an interesting one for me, because I said to the Lord, how am I going to say this? How do I tie John the Baptist and Paul the Apostle together in one sermon? And I've put some thoughts together, and I'm going to share with you this morning, and we're going to see what God's going to say to us and what God's going to do in our lives. And I want to encourage you that in the kingdom of God, we need to be living, transforming lives. We need to be a progressive people. We need to be people that are ever advancing. The Word of God says that God's kingdom is ever advancing. And forceful men and women lay a hold of this ever advancing kingdom. So folks, I want to encourage you, if you feel that you're in a place of stagnation, which we can get at, we can find ourselves in that place. I think if we had to go around the room here and we had to be honest, and we did a questionnaire, and we asked people, how was your walk with the Lord? Has it just been one continual growing, ever increasing, never declining, never discouraged, never sad, never lost sight? I think we'll be surprised at the results that we'll get. Would you agree with me this morning on that? Would you agree that our walk with the Lord can kind of be almost like the sea? It can be like waves. It can be ups and downs and lows and highs. And I want to encourage you this morning. When you're in a low, don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't give up. Rather turn to the Lord. Rather, that is the time, that is a great time to draw closer to God, to take time, read the Word, spend time praying. If you're struggling with that, find somebody that can help you. Find somebody that can share with you. Find somebody that you can talk to. Share your heart. I think too often in the kingdom of God, as Christians, we end up in almost in an arrogant place where we don't want to talk. We don't want to share our feelings with one another. We don't want to get our brother or sister and say, listen, I feel like I'm in a desert today. I feel like I'm at the end of my tether. Folks, we live in a taxing world. We live in a place where times are tough. We live in a place where we live in an era where things are hard, and it's not an easy place to be. The realities of life put huge pressure on us as children of God. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we lose sight. But I want to encourage you this morning, never lose sight of that eternal prize. Never lose sight of the fact that Jesus came and He made a way. Jesus has paved the road for us. He has given us hope. He has given us purpose. He has given us destiny. He has opened the doors of eternity for us. All we need to do is we need to walk through there. We need to lay a hold of that. And this morning, as we look at Paul, who was Saul, became Paul the Apostle, and John the Baptist, I want us to compare these two men. We found that John the Baptist was a man, he was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was one that came and he preached a strong message of repentance. You're going to say to me, yes, but Gavin, so did Paul. Well, before he became Paul, Saul was quite a nasty character. He was the guy that was persecuting the church. He was the guy that was giving everybody a hard time. John the Baptist, on the other hand, was coming and he was preaching a strong message. He was talking vocally, shouting at the people, telling the people, listen here, you need to turn or burn. This morning as we sit here, we hear the Word of God. We need to know that we need to turn or burn. We need to know that we have to have changed lifestyles. We have to have a new mentality. We have to open up the doors of our heart and allow Jesus in. Allow the working of the Holy Spirit. Tang Tereka got up here this morning and he encouraged us to pray and say, Holy Spirit, won't you come? Won't you rain a healing down on us? Won't you bring a freshness into us? In fact, sometimes this is what we need in life. Sometimes we can gather here every week, every Sunday. Maybe on a Wednesday morning, Wednesday evening, we gather. Folks, it's beyond that. It's walking and living in a place where we keep moving forward, where we keep progressing. So why don't you bow your heads with me and pray? Let us pray, and then we're going to have a look at some exciting scriptures, some things that are going to spur us on this morning. And Father, this morning, as we sit in your presence, we're going to ask you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would come, would refresh us, O God. We pray, Lord, for your anointing. We pray, Lord, for a release this morning. I pray, Lord, that everything that is distracting us, the week that has gone past, the week that lies ahead, all the troubles and the worries that we have, Father, we want to hand them over to you this morning. We want to say, Lord, won't you let your word come? Won't you let your word bring a massaging this morning? Won't you let your word come and challenge us this morning? Bring a refreshing in our lives this morning, Father. Father, we do not want to leave you the way we have come here, but we want to leave you, Father, renewed, refreshed, and ready, O God, to take on the next step, to the next challenge, the next area of victory in our lives, Father. We pray, Lord, that we know that we cannot do this on our own, but we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. So, Father, this morning, as your word goes forth, we know it will accomplish. We know that it has been sent with a purpose, with a plan. And Father, you will receive all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start off this morning by taking us to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 3. And if we read from verses 3 onwards, we find the story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist comes along and he brings a special message. He says there's somebody coming. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And somebody is coming. Somebody's going to bring a newness. Somebody's going to bring about a change. There's going to be a breaking through into the forces of darkness. Now, if we read what John says here, John was speaking very strongly. He was a very aggressive man. John the Baptist was known as a wild man. He was a man that ate wild honey and locusts. He dressed with camel skins. He lived in the wilderness. Some people said, no, this is a madman. This is a crazy man. But John the Baptist came with a message. He came with a purpose. He was driven by God. He was driven by the Spirit of God to bring a message about someone that was coming that was going to bring about change. And if we read Luke chapter 3, verses 3 onwards, it says this, he went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now this is very interesting, this. Because Jesus has not gone to the cross yet. Jesus has not laid down his life for the forgiveness of sin for all humanity. For every man, every woman, every child, every person born, Jesus went to Calvary, laid down his life, that we could have salvation, that we could have forgiveness of sin, that we could have a transformation in our life. And this is before this took place. And during this time, we would find that the people had to go to the priests, they had to go to the synagogues, and they had to go to the people that were running the show, the high priests. And they would go there and they would say, this is my sin. And then the priest will say, okay, you bring some turtle doves, you bring a sheep, you bring a goat, and you, Tantarica, because you're such a big sinner, you bring a big zebu that is without spot and blemish. And this is the way they lived. And here comes John the Baptist, and he starts bringing something of a difference here. He brings about a change. He brings a message of repentance, and he's very strong in what he's saying. And I wonder what the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the priests had to say about John the Baptist in those days. They must have said, no, this guy is a hooligan. This guy has no authority. And yet John the Baptist comes and he speaks strongly out. The Word of God says this. It says that he preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah prophesied this. He said that there will come one and he'd bring this message. He'd bring a message of hope. He'd bring a message of transformation. Many, many years before John the Baptist was even born, before he was conceived in his mother's womb. And Isaiah said, he said, it's a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him, every valley shall be filled, in every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. And he has purpose, he has hope, he has a difference. And I want to tell you, those shady areas in your life, those tough times that you've had, those crooked paths that you've walked. How many of you have walked a crooked path? Come on. How many of us have, we've walked a wild life? We've been all over the place. In the New Testament, it speaks about being tossed to and fro. Every wind and every doctrine. All kinds of things. The way that we live. We live this way and that way. And then one day, we're going down this road. And then the next day, we're going down that road. And then we're going down this road. And we're all over the place. And our lives are total, total chaos. I want to tell you, if you're sitting here this morning and your life is in a mess, you're in a good place. You're in a good place. Because the Spirit of God can come and He can make those crooked paths straight. Isaiah prophesied this. He said, there will come one that will bring hope. There will come one that will bring destiny. There will come one that will bring purpose. There will come one that will straighten those crooked paths. The rejection that you face. The heartache that you have. The pain that you are facing because you were abused. Whatever it is. He says He'll come and He'll bring hope. And that can only come through salvation. Can only come by us accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Kim spoke about this and he said, if you have not had a true revelation of who Jesus Christ is, it's very, very difficult for you to have a relationship with Him. It's very difficult for you to have an understanding that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You need to have a revelation. You need to have an understanding of who this great King is. And John the Baptist is preparing the road. And he's in verse 7, and he says this. It says that John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him. Now this is very interesting. He came preaching a message of forgiveness of sin. So he was there with his loud hailer, probably maybe a horn, cut the back out like a vuvuzela that they used at the World Cup. He was probably shouting out at the back here, turn or burn! Come on, you terrible people! You son of man! Turn or burn! I can remember years ago when we were in South Africa, we did street outreaches. We'd go into the city on a Saturday night and we'd set up our half-hour from our lounge with two speakers and a microphone and a box guitar, and there was nobody in sight. Nobody in sight. There was not a person in sight. And Rhoda, myself, and my young sister was about 12, 13 years old. She'd play and we would sing. And if you ever heard me sing, you'd understand why there was nobody in the streets. I cannot sing. And we would sing and we would be excited, and then I'd take my Bible out and then we would preach a message and we'd really, really preach, and I'd shout down the street, sinner man, turn or burn! You're gonna go to lost eternity! You need to repent, you need to bend your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nobody in sight. Not a soul. And my friends would say to me, what are you trying to do? I said, no, God told us to do this. This is what we feel, God has convicted us, and we're going, and all it was just training. Training, training, or we're obedient to God. And I can imagine John the Baptist shouting out there, turn or burn! And these guys all coming out there. And when they arrived there, and he must say, yes, this is what I want. I wanted a response. The interesting thing is that when these people came to John the Baptist to come and repent of their sins, to get baptized, he just hammered them. He hammered them. He didn't play with them. He said this to them. He turned around and he said to them, he said, listen, he said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Now I wonder, if I jumped up here this morning and started shouting at all of you and telling you how bad you were, telling you what sinful men and women you were, how'd you feel? Would you be happy? I think these guys must have been quite angry with John the Baptist. They must have been like, John, you called us to repentance. We've come humbly to repent, and now you start shouting that we are brood of vipers. You see, John was passionate about the coming king. John was excited that there was one that was going to come, and he was going to redeem the whole of humanity. He was going to come, and he was going to release people of the bondage of going to the temple with their turtle dove, with their zebu, with their sheep and their lambs and everything like that. There was freedom coming. John was passionate about this. He was excited about this. And yet he said, "You brood of vipers." Folks, this morning as we sit here, well, we are brood of vipers. Do I find myself in this category? Do I find myself in a place of non-repenting? Do I find myself in a place of not wanting to bow my knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? The Word of God says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. I remember years ago chatting with some friends of mine, and the guys were like, no, Gavin, you know, this Christianity thing, it's not for us. We're not really into this whole thing. And all they said, that's fine. That's great. If you're happy with that, that's your business. If that's the way you want to live, that's fine. But I want to tell you, one day, you will bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say to us this morning that we need to bow before the King of Kings. We need to surrender our lives. We need to give up. We need to have a transforming of our lifestyle. We have to have a renewing of our minds. We cannot just amble through life, just blundering on ahead. There's got to come a change. There's got to come a transformation. There's got to be a shift. Going in this direction and turning in that direction. And John brings a strong message. And he says to them, he says, "You brood of vipers, produce fruit in keeping with repentance." There's two things that happen there. We have to do something. We have to repent. We have to turn. And we have to produce. Produce fruits worthy of repentance. Folks, that speaks about a growing, continual, moving forward. It's not something, okay, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior now. That's it. I can go home. I can sit down and the rest of my life, everything will be hanky-dory. Never again. Never do I need to call on the Lord. Never again do I need to read my Bible. Never again do I need to pray. I'm just going to go to heaven because of the Bible says, all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's simple. But I want to tell you, it goes beyond that. It's not just that. We have heard it over the past few weeks, over and over and over again. We have to do something about it. We have to change our mentality. We have to relook at our lives. We have to take stock. We have to evaluate where we are going. Otherwise, there's nothing. It's meaningless. It's just a bag of wind. John says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And then he says to them, don't say that you have Abraham as your father, etc., etc. And this is the account of John the Baptist. John the Baptist coming, bringing a message of repentance. Now, what has that got to do with Saul and Paul? I think maybe, can somebody help me on this one? Well, what I want to do is I want to now take you to Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus and show you what happened to a man opposite to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was coming along and he was proclaiming that there was one great and mighty coming. There was one coming that was going to bring about freedom. There was one coming that was going to redeem humanity. There was one that was coming bringing hope. If we have a look at the encounter of Saul, as he was known then, in the book of Acts chapter 9, we find that Saul, this man Saul, who later became Paul, was on the road to Damascus. And the scripture starts off like this. It says in verse 1 of chapter 9, it says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." Totally contrary, totally opposite to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was bringing a message of hope. John the Baptist was proclaiming that Jesus was coming. And Saul, on the other hand, he wanted to annihilate everything that represented salvation. He wanted to annihilate everything that represented the fact that Jesus was the Savior. Saul, did not want to accept the fact that Jesus had come. The Messiah had arrived. The Redeemer had come. He had come and walked on earth. He lived like a man. He spent time with man. He spent 33 years plus with mankind. He felt the cold. He was hungry. He was rejected by his friends. He was denied by his friends. He was abused by his friends. He was hurt. He grew up as a stepchild with a stepfather. He had stepbrothers. He understood that. Some of us that are sitting here saying, "Oh, Gavin, you don't understand. You don't know the kind of life that I went through." And I've said this many, many times. You're right, I don't understand. I never will, and I don't want you, because I don't have to. Because Jesus understands. God knows you're going out and you're coming in. God knows all the hurts that you're dealing with. God knows about the rejection that you're dealing with. God knows about the pain that you're dealing with. God knows everything about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Kim mentioned it last week. Said that God has chosen you. Oh, I chose to follow God. No, you didn't choose to follow God. God chose you. And when you turned to Him, you said, "Yes, I have accepted you because I have chosen you. I've purchased you with a price. I sent my one and only son." And here we find that Saul is hurling out these accusations. It says that he was against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that he would find anyone there who belonged to the way. This is the new church. These are the people that have accepted Christ as the Savior. These are the ones that we read about from the book of Acts, when they came to Peter and John after the day of Pentecost, said, "What must we do? What shall we do?" Simple. Repent of your sins, be baptized, and you shall be saved. You will receive the gift of the promise. And here we find that Saul is going and he's hammering these guys. Those of the way. The way of what? Scripture is very clear that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. And here we find that this man, Saul, he was part of the religious gatherings, the religious sect, whatever you want to call them of those days. The Word of God says here that he went to the high priest. He went to those that were responsible for religion of that era, of that day and age. And he said to them, "Give me a letter. Give me permission that I may take these of the way and take them to Jerusalem and persecute them and lock them up and sort them out." He was quite an interesting character, this guy Saul. He was an educated man. He wasn't an idiot. And he had a look at this whole lot and he went and he got these letters. And as he went along, it says there that he didn't care whether it was woman, whether it was men. Just all he wanted to do was get them out of the way. Take those that follow the way out of the way. And folks, I want to tell you today, as we are sitting there, as we are sitting here today, there are areas in our life, there are things in our lives that want to take us out of the way. Take us out of God's presence. Take us out of the kingdom of God. Take us out of the relationship that we have with the King. Take us out of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dampen our communication and our interaction with the Holy Spirit. There's all kinds of things that will distract us. Money, finances, you name it. New cars. Women want new faces. America, you can go and take your face off, put your new face on, man. Not quite, but just about. You can get a house and then you walk around like that all day because you had a facelift. You gotta be careful. You meet people like that. You want to change. They're not happy with the way they are. Folks, I want to tell you, if you're not happy with the way you are today, I hope it's because you're not in the right place with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of the way that you look, or because where you work, or because of what you earn. No, I'm not happy because my relationship is not where it should be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants an intimate relationship with you. I work for Muslim bosses. My bosses are Muslim. We have more than 55% of the children in Vision Valley School are from Muslim homes. And I have many discussions with them. And at the end of every discussion, I always say this. I say, it doesn't matter what you say. The key is this, that there is a true God, there is a great God who loves you, who cares for you, and wants a personal relationship with you, because it's a personal God that wants a personal relationship with every individual. And you can only have that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that stops all conversation. But I never failed to say that to them. God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to be intimate with Him. Saul, on the road to Damascus, fighting the church, fighting everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, determined that he would take everybody and lock them up and put them in prison. John the Baptist, on the other hand, proclaiming the way, setting the stage for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Come in, bring freedom, bring hope, bring everything. Saul, on the other hand, hammering it. Two forces working against each other. But the wonderful thing is that God, in His mercy, saw fit to reveal Himself to Paul, or to Saul, on the road to Damascus. Because the Word of God says this. It says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Something happens here. Something happens. And I remember, I had an agreement with God. And I had an agreement with the devil. Years ago. And I can remember, Rhoda was teaching Sunday school in the local church. My friends would talk to me. The ministers would come to our house. And I had only one answer for them. Listen, my friend, I have an agreement with the old man upstairs, and I have an agreement with the devil. I have an agreement with the old man upstairs, and the agreement I have with the devil is you leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone. And I want to tell you, my life was hell on earth, because that's not where God wanted me. There is no such a thing as have a relationship with the old man upstairs. God is God. God is holy. God is awesome. God is good. God loves you. God cares for you. And yeah, I had this kind of relationship until one day God spoke to me. One day I heard God. And like Saul on the road to Damascus, he finds himself in this place. He hears this voice. A light from heaven flashes around him and he falls to the ground. And the voice says to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why do you continually not want to listen to me? And folks, as children of God, as we sit here this morning, we are like Saul. The Holy Spirit is knocking on the door all the time. Don't do this, and we do it. Change this, we don't change it. Let's be honest. It's very simple. We all grown ups here. There's some youngsters here, but they're not that young. But we're all grown up. We mature children of God. There's a divided line. Sin, not to sin. Shall I sin? Shall I not sin? Shall I sin? Shall I not sin? And we do this. And we're almost like the riots they're having in France at the moment where the guys have got their petition there. We petition with sin. And we kind of, shall I, well let me just try a little bit, and eventually we step over the line. Right or wrong? We like Saul. Where the Lord had to say to him, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why are you so angry? Why are you so against me? I want to tell you this morning that sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit in a sense that when God speaks to us and says, don't do this, we do it anyway. We're no better than Saul. We are no different. We are persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring a persecution against Him in our disobedience. I want to tell you something. God requires very little of us. But one thing that He really, really requires of us is that we love Him and that we obey Him. Because He says in His Word, He says, if you love me, you will obey me. Right? So it's not complicated. It's not difficult. And something happens here. It says that Saul, he fell down on the ground and he heard the voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I love Saul's response. Immediately, Saul responds like this, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? And I really believe that is the saving grace of Paul, or Saul at that moment, was when he cried out and he said, Lord, who are you? When he acknowledged and he knew, and I'm sure he knew in his heart, he knew exactly who he was dealing with. He knew exactly who he was talking about or talking to. We read the encounter on the cross when Jesus is crucified. We have the thief and the robber and the murderer, one on the one side and one on the other side, and they're hurling accusations. The one is hurling accusations against Jesus. He says, hey, come on, man, if you are who you are, why don't you save us and yourself? Why don't you take us down from this cross? And then the one turns around and he says to Jesus, he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And folks, that acknowledgement, that knowing of who God is, who the Lord Jesus Christ is, this was the turning point for Saul, who later became Paul. A revelation, an opening of his understanding. Immediately, no, 3 days later. You go and read the following portions of scripture there. It says that he goes off and he goes and he sees some, he says to him, who are you, Lord? And the voice replies, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into a city and you'll be told what you must do. Clear instructions. Clear instructions. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what to do. This man Saul goes into the city. He goes to a man's house and he comes to a man by the name of Ananias. And Ananias has been told by the Lord, calls him in a vision, and he says to him, you need to go and see this man Saul. And if we read the encounter there, he says, no. I don't want to see this man. I don't want to speak to this man. This is the guy that is killing everybody and persecuting everybody of the way. Saul had a reputation. He had a bad reputation. Some of us that are sitting here have had bad reputations. But you know, the wonderful thing is that Jesus has a great reputation. And He wants to transform your bad reputation and my bad reputation and our bad reputation into a good reputation that He may receive the glory and the honor. And we find here that Saul goes to this, Ananias comes to Saul, because in verse 15, or verse 13, let's look at verse 13. Lord Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. He's come here with a purpose. He has come here to take away and to lock up everyone. And now you are sending me to him. And I love the response that the Lord gives to Ananias. He says this to him. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and before the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And folks, there's God's answer to your problem. Last week as Kim preached, spoke about God has chosen you. He said, out of you? He said he found the rottenest one of the bunch. Said, that one I've chosen. And God had chosen Saul. God had chosen him with a plan and with a purpose. Chose him for a specific destiny. To bring about a total reformation. Set in place churches, apostolic ministry, all kinds of things were done by the hands of Paul. If you go and read the New Testament, Paul and his team, they did amazing things. This was a guy that persecuted the church. Goes on further. How does Saul come out of this? If we have a look further on verse 19, it says, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach. No, sorry. Backtrack. verse 15. Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, and placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's a very interesting thing, verse 18, it says this. It says, and immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see, again, he got up and was baptized. Just a conversion of Saul to Paul. And folks, that whole thing, he meets the Lord on the road to Damascus. He falls down on his knees and he cries out, Lord, who are you? And Jesus says, I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting. And it says from there he was blind for 3 days. And sometimes we walk around in spiritual blindness. And as Kim said, that unless we have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, unless we have had a revelation of who He is, our lives cannot be transforming. We cannot live transformed lifestyles. We will just blunder on through life as we always have, all along. Nothing changed, nothing growing, going nowhere. And here's a very interesting thing here. It says, listen to this. It says, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. Immediately, his eyes were opened. Immediately, there was revelation. Immediately, there was an understanding. And he knew that he had to do something. And he simply went, got baptized, and from there, Paul started preaching, teaching, going from synagogue to synagogue, meeting to meeting, meeting with people, encouraging them, bringing about a change. Very simply, he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, John the Baptist, he brought a message. He came and he said, there's one coming. Saul came along and he fought the church and then he had a revelation and all that changed. There was a renewing of his mind. There was a shift in where he was going. And I want to ask you this morning, have you had a shift in your life that will bring glory to God? You see, John the Baptist didn't stop there. In Luke, if you go back to Luke chapter 2 or chapter 3, it says this. I found this very interesting. It's John the Baptist sends a message to the Lord Jesus. Sorry, Matthew 11, not Luke. Matthew 11. John the Baptist is in prison. He's been imprisoned for what he's been doing. And he sends a message to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. And the Word of God says this, and after Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. And when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? That's John asking a question. Jesus, are you the one? Or should we look for somebody else? Paul on the road to Damascus, Lord, who are you? Jesus said, I am the one. I am the one that you're persecuting. It's my church that you're hurling accusation against. John the Baptist has been locked up in prison. He was the one that said Jesus was coming. He proclaimed that there was one greater than him coming. And now he's in prison. And what does he do? He sends a message. And the message is this. He says, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? And then Jesus replies and he says, go back and report to John what you have heard, what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Revelation. Bang, the light goes on. Jesus, are you the one? Is there another one that we must look for? What is happening? And Jesus just simply says, go back to John and tell him that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf ears have been unstopped, the lepers have been healed. Now, immediately we put it into a natural sense of healing. I want to tell you, revelation with the King, revelation of Jesus Christ brings an opening of blinded eyes. Brings an opening of blinded eyes. If you are spiritually blind, if you meet the King, your eyes will be opened. Go back to Saul on the road to Damascus. He was blinded for 3 days. Scales fell off of his eyes. He had a revelation of who Jesus Christ was, and he brought about a significant change. A whole shift in the day and age of the church. And folks, as we sit here, as we have revelation, as we have our spiritual eyes opened by the Holy Spirit, a revelation of Jesus Christ, we can only transform. We can only move forward. We can only grow. When our spiritual ears that are stopped are opened, we will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Am I right? It's not difficult to hear the Holy Spirit. It's very simple. He said, the word of God in Isaiah, it says, and you'll hear behind you a still small voice saying, this is the way to walk. Go in that direction. He doesn't send a flaming angel with a trumpet. Blast you out of your bed at 3 a.m. in the morning. This is the Lord your God. It is time to hear me. No. It's a still small voice. And folks, everyone that is sitting here knows that still small voice. It's in your conscience. You know what is right? You know what is wrong? When you start learning to obey that voice, there comes a transformation. He says that the deaf ears have been opened, the blind eyes have seen, and the lame walk. And folks, when we have seen God, heard God, we can go forward in God. Amen? Why don't you bow your heads with me and pray? Maybe this morning, I don't want to miss this opportunity. Maybe this morning you're sitting out there and you're saying, Gavin, I've heard what God has said. I want a transformation in my life. I want a change. I want a stirring. I want my blinded spiritual eyes to be opened. I want my spiritually deaf ears to be unstopped, that I can go forward in God, that I can grow in God, that I can be obedient, that I can stop being as Saul, persecuting God in my disobedience, persecuting the Lord Jesus because I am disobedient. If you want to respond this morning, all I want you to do is raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to give you an opportunity. See that hand. God sees those hands. Is there anyone else? Raise your hand. God sees your hand. God sees those hands. Folks, God wants us to progress. He wants us to be a progressing church. He wants us to be a developing people. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your word. I want to thank you, Father, that your word does transform us. I want to thank you, Lord, that your word changes us. And Lord, when we have revelation of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, we know there comes about a change. And Father, we want to be a transformable people. We want to be a progressive people. We want to be a people that move forward in you, O God. Lord, we want to be like Saul on the road to Damascus. We want to have a transformation from being Saul to becoming Paul, that we may move your kingdom forward, that we may be a reflection of who you are, the great and mighty King. Thank you, Lord, for each one that responded this morning, every hand that went up. Father, we know that you have seen. We know that you know the hearts of these folk. And we just pray, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll bring about a renewing of their minds. Transformation, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.